Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm not. I'm Wayne.
And we're here together with episode 11.
Sorry, I have a Hawaii shirt on. I don't have shoes on, so I'm good. I'm here sitting here with you. I'm good to go.
You're good to go?
And I can't believe it's episode 11. I'm going to say it.
I think people would be disappointed if you didn't say it.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but anyway.
I don't know.
So
our topic tonight is finances.
Yep. So we do have a scripture to go along with it, which the scripture is out of Proverbs 27, verses 23 to 24, and it's out of the Christian Standard Bible. And it says, "Know well the condition of your flock and pay attention to your herds, for wealth is not forever, not even a crown lasts for all time."
Yeah. So you might be wondering what that's all about, but it's just, if you're like me, I know there have to be some other procrastinators out there. I'm still working on the taxes. And of course, the deadline is staring us down. And so it got us talking about the stresses around marriage and finances.
Well, and it was interesting from the beginning of our marriage, because, and part of it goes back to how we were raised. So in my family, I grew up on a small farm, and my mom did all the bill paying. So my dad didn't pay any bills. My mom took care of the checkbook and grocery shopping and paid all the bills and so forth. While in Cindy's family...
Yeah, my dad took care of all the bills. So he did all the paying of bills, taking care of all the finances, keeping everything straight. And so I watched him sit and write out checks, but I never learned anything about finances. But so then when we got together, it created a real mess because we were living in an apartment when we first got married. And a few months into it, we started to get shutoff notices for our utilities.
And I'm asking Cindy, well, didn't you pay this? And Cindy's asking me, well, didn't you pay this? And apparently what we learned was that I thought she was paying all the bills because of how I was raised. She thought I was paying all the bills because of how she was raised. And guess what? Neither one of us was paying the bills.
Yeah, nobody was paying the bills. So this is something we wished we had talked about before we got married, about what our expectations were around managing the money, about, you know, what we needed to know, who had strengths in what. We didn't know anything. I actually, I think it was before we were married or right after. It was before we were married, because I was still living on my own. I kept bouncing checks and I couldn't figure out why. Well, it's because I went to the ATM machine and it would say that I had this money available, not knowing that or not remembering that I had written checks for something else, because nobody had ever taught me how to balance a checkbook. So I actually had to get one of our friends, actually the friend who introduced us and set us up for the blind date. Linda was very good with finances and she taught me how to balance my checkbook. And you came to the marriage, you didn't know how to balance a checkbook.
Well, I had a checkbook, but I wasn't very good at balancing it. But on the other hand, I never wrote any checks. But I did have a checkbook.
Unfortunately, this just started a downhill slide with finances for us in our marriage. And then, of course, this was at the time. So, I mean, we got married in 1984, and that's back in the day. Remember, they used to send you the credit cards in the mail.
In the mail.
Yeah, like the card, like you didn't, it's now like now you have to worry about shredding the application so your information doesn't get stolen. Back then, they actually mailed you a credit card, and if you wanted to use it, all you had to do was activate it. It was just there. It came with a paper that said what the credit limit was.
Yeah, there was no application process or anything. It just came, and it didn't have a real large,
available credit on it.
It wasn't a lot, but then again, the more you used it, then all of a sudden you ended up getting a bigger credit limit.
Yeah, and the other thing that I didn't realize until many, many, many years later was that I shopped to try to fill an emotional need, and I also shopped because there were expectations about what my home was supposed to look like and what I was supposed to have and what I was supposed to wear that came from other family members. And so quickly, we ran up credit cards. And by now, we had moved into our house. We had actually, we didn't run too much stuff up until after we had purchased our first house. And we ran our house and we just got further and further in debt. And
well, it's so easy because we would see something that we'd want and we knew we wouldn't be able to afford, you know, but we can't afford it right now, but we can charge it and just pay it off, which sounded really good, except we didn't pay it off.
Right. You know, we always thought, oh, we can pay this off. Well, and then, so then it got to the point where we started to argue about money, because it's a real stress. And if any of you are out there right now and you're dealing financial issues, we feel for you because we know how stressful it can be. And I mean, there was at one point where our credit was so bad, and Wayne decided he wanted to buy this new stereo. Yes, this was back when you had stereos and big rectangular speakers.
It had a turntable.
Yes, it had a turntable. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're back now. You know,
they are back now. I got rid of all my albums.
Yeah. So, but I, you know, we started to argue about this. And finally, I just said, just go buy it. Because I figured our credit was so bad that they wouldn't give him the loan. This was back when, what did they call those stores? It's kind of like Aaron's Rent-A-Center or the Rent-A-Center places now.
Yeah, it wasn't a chain store. It was just,
there were stores and they would have a finance company, an agreement with a finance company so you could get this, you know, payment.
It was almost like store credit, but it was through a bank or something.
Yeah, it was before everybody was issuing store credit cards. And so I just said, yes, just go buy it, because I was convinced they weren't going to give him the line of credit. Well,
guess what? I came home with a stereo.
Yeah, and more debt that we couldn't afford.
But it sounded really good.
Yeah, and then,
which is irrelevant.
I mean, we're telling you these stories because we're hoping that it will inspire you to get educated about money, because we were just so naive. We had never been taught anything about managing money. And so our mindset around money was all wrong and really messed up.
And I know we've talked on a lot of other podcasts about how communication is key. And this is one of the things we argued about it. But as far as really talking about it, and we didn't really, like you said before, we didn't really talk about it going into it. You know, who did what, whose strength was who had what role, you know, as far as finances. So it's really, really important. So we encourage you, you know, if you're in a marriage or relationship or going to get married, communicate about it.
Yeah. Well, we ended up having fights because I hated paying the bills. I still don't like paying the bills, but I hated it then because it was so stressful because I had to figure out what I was going to pay and what was going to wait and what was going to be late and what was going to get a late charge. And, you know, so Wayne at one point tried to take over paying the bills, but he didn't understand the nuances of, you know, there's stuff that you can leave go, that, you know, things that have a grace period that if you have to let them go a little bit, you can let them go and you pay the other stuff that didn't. And he couldn't get the hang of that. And so then he'd be mad because I asked him to do this, but then I was telling him he wasn't doing it the right way. So then I'd just take it back. We went back and forth with that about a couple. I don't know how many times we went back and forth. Finally, it's definitely my strong point to figure out what needs paid when and how and how much and whatever. But anyway, so we're really in this mess. So then we get this offer in the mail. And this, again, this is when they still send things through mail.
To get Windows.
It was to get Windows. And it looked like it had the name of our state, and it had, you know, that it was this state homeowners assistance program. It looked very official. Mm-hmm. So we now look back on this and know this was like one of the first scams that was out there. It looked very, very official.
How they say, if it looks too good to be true, then probably it isn't. Well, this looked really good.
Yeah. And so you had to do some kind of home improvement. You had to do windows or siding or a roof or whatever. And they would, if you had credit card debt or any other loans that you had, they would consolidate that all into the payment for whatever home improvement you did. And so you would have one bill. So we really needed windows in our house. We had lived in it for quite a few number of years by then. And the windows had been, it was a house that had been redone by the redevelopment authority in the town where we lived in. And the windows were really cheap, and we really needed new windows. A lot of them were the old, they had done the windows upstairs, but not downstairs. Yeah. And so the downstairs windows were
the old windows with the weights on the inside to hold them open, and no screens.
Yeah. So we went for this, and this is one of these times. So by now, we had become believers, and so we're trying to live our life as Christians and be good stewards of our money. And also, because my personality was so strong, I mean, one of the first things we discovered was that we had our roles reversed, and so then we were working on doing that and evening out and working together as partners on things. But my personality is very strong. You may have guessed that by now. But I was still a control freak at that point. I'm a recovering control freak now, but I wanted to be in charge of stuff. And so I was trying to let go and let Wayne make decisions. And so he thought that we should go for this and do it. It looked legit. And when the guys came to do the actual paperwork for the loan with us, and we're sitting at the table, I just had this feeling in the pit of my stomach that we should not do this. And I think I said to you, are you sure you want to go through with this? And he said, yes, I think we should do this. And I was like, okay, I will, you know, I'll trust you on this. And we got through the paperwork, and we knew at one point, I mean, it was one of these loans that had, I don't know, 25 pages of paperwork, probably not that much, it seemed that much. We got to the point where they listed the value of our house, and we had had an appraisal done on our house for, I forget what the reason was, but we had a very fairly recent appraisal. We'd given the document that had the true value of our house on, but this number that they had on the form was way more than what it is.
Substantially
and so
different.
So we said, well, that's not how much our house is worth. It's worth this, you know, paper on the appraisal. And they gave us some cockamamie story about, you know, it's a percentage. We're allowed to say that it's this much of that or whatever. Blah, blah, blah.
I mean, well, it sounded good when they said it.
It sounded good. And like, what do we know? Like, you know, here we are. We've already told you we know nothing about money or finances or loans or investment or anything. We were so ignorant. And so we signed this, and the monthly payment came out to be a lot more than what we could actually handle. And we said something about this. They said, oh, don't worry, you just pay this for 6 months, and then we can redo it after you have the 6 months of payment history, and then we'll redo it and reduce your payment so it's lower. So we were like, okay, so we did this. We got nice new windows, and they paid off our credit cards, and then we had this payment that was a real struggle for us to make every month. And so we waited the 6 months, and I called, and the gentleman on the other end of the phone was very nice. I think I probably started crying at some point, and he was very kind. But he said, well, so we're doing this based on your house being worth this much. I said, no. I said, our house is not worth this much. He says, well, this is what you sign on the application. I said, no. I said, we gave them an appraisal. Don't you have the appraisal? And I said, I explained that the gentleman said that there was some formula that said that they could say it was worth this much. Total silence on the other end of the phone. And so we had been scammed. We were stuck with this payment and struggled. So then we really had money issues then, because we did not make enough money to pay our living expenses and put food on the table and pay this payment.
Yeah, so it was a struggle for several years with that.
Yeah. And so then we did something that I would recommend to you mm-hmm. is we found a credit counseling agency. Actually, we took a class. Somebody came to our class or to our class, to our church and did it. It wasn't our class. It was somebody else's class. Came to our church and did a Larry Burkett seminar. Larry's gone home to be with the Lord now, but his Crown Financial, he was one of the first people to do financial education specifically for Christian families. And we took that. And so we worked with the lady who had given the workshop and we worked with her. And so she referred us to this credit counseling organization. And so we got with them. They lowered our interest rates on the credit card debt that we owed. And
they actually negotiated with the credit card companies.
Yeah. To lower the interest. You still had to pay it, mm-hmm. but it was all in one monthly thing. And I don't know how it works these days, because this was quite some time ago. But like we weren't allowed to have a credit card. If we opened another credit card, it would completely make that agreement null and void with the, and we would end up having to immediately pay our creditors. Mm-hmm. So it was good incentive not to open one. Yep. So we lived that way for a long time, but then I had never dealt with this need to spend. And, you know, I jokingly call it now, but then even it was retail therapy. If I would get upset or be stressed or, you know, mad or whatever, I would go shopping. And that's what I did. Now I have worked through it with counseling, and I don't have that need for the material things as much anymore. And even now, Wayne was with me when I did this the other week. We went to Hobby Lobby. I love Hobby Lobby. Mm. But I will take my cart and a lot of places, go shopping, put stuff in my cart. And then when it's time to check out, I look at what's in my cart and I evaluate, is it something I really need? Is it a purchase that I planned? Is it something I've been thinking about buying and pricing for a long time? Or was it just something I put on the cart in an impulse? And then nine times out of 10, I end up going back around the store and putting everything back where I got it, except maybe one or two items. So we've evolved in that, but you know, we did make some slips even after going through the mm-hmm. credit counseling. Oh, yeah. What did it take us? Four years to pay everything off?
4 or 5 years.
Yeah. I forget now. Yeah. It was not a fast fix. When you get into big debt like that, it is not easy to get out of it. You know, one thing I think is, it's a regulation now. If you have credit cards, look on your credit card statement. And usually it's on the upper right-hand side. There's a box and it says how long it will take you to pay off the balance if you only pay the minimum payment and how much you will pay in the end, because you will pay. I mean, we had statements we were looking at where we were going to end up paying an extra $20,000 mm-hmm. till we paid all the interest that was going to be on
the minimum.
Yeah,
because it's so misleading when you know when they send you a credit card bill and it says, you know, you've got a substantial balance on there and your minimum payment's like 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 mm-hmm. bucks. It's like, ooh, this isn't bad. I can just keep using it.
Yeah.
It's very misleading.
Well, and then what the credit card companies will do is when your balance gets really high on your credit card, they'll increase your credit mm-hmm. limit. There were times where we didn't want our credit limit increased because we didn't want that temptation. And they
increased it anyway. Yeah,
we have some cards now that have really high credit limits on, thank God, no balance. But it's, you know, when one of the times we slipped is I had people that were telling me about, oh, you mm-hmm. you get these cards that have points that give you cash back or some kind of benefit or something. And then, oh, you just charge all your monthly purchases on it. And then you pay the card at the end of the month, but you get all these points or whatever. Well, that sounds good in theory, as long as you're able mm-hmm. to pay off the credit card at the end of the month. Because what happened to us is we started to get back in a bad situation again, because something would happen. We still weren't good at having an emergency fund or following through with those kind of budget things. That's taken a while. We're still not really good with the budget, but we're good with having an emergency fund. But then something would happen. And so then we'd have all this stuff charged on the credit card and we'd have to use all of our available cash to pay bills for something else. And then that just spiraled out of control. So we had to put the brakes on, and we're like, no, we are not going in this direction again. And so we worked really hard to pay off all of our credit card debt. But it's a process, and we really, really encourage you to get help if you are having issues. And if you're, you know, there's Dave Ramsey, there's Jim Baker. If you go on Pinterest, you can see different budget planners. There's numerous Facebook groups and blogs and things that you can get connected to that can help you learn how to manage your finances and help you get out of debt.
So I think that's pretty much what we wanted to talk about tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to draw it to a close.
Yep. So don't let money come between you and your significant other. It's one of the biggest causes of fights in marriages. So be proactive. If you are in trouble, get help. If you're getting married or just starting your marriage, sit down and have a discussion about the finances.
Communicate openly and honestly.
Yep.
Yep. So, okay. Well, have a good week. We will see you next week. God bless.
Yep. We pray God richly. Man, you can tell it's Friday.
And we're not even as tired as we usually are. Try it again, hon.
We pray that God richly blesses your relationship. Have a great weekend.
Bye now.
Bye.